Well, this is John Barron, and you have, look, you have, this is the worst decision you've ever had in your life, practically. Jack, and Jack's going to agree with me, right? But this is a terrible decision, and you have Hakeem Jeffries, who, he's a dope, and you have Chuck Schumer, who can't cook a cheeseburger. Of course these people are happy. Of course these people are happy. But true Americans will not be happy. And you have the woman earlier, I assume she's a woman, she's a Democrat, but she said she's disgraced. She's devastated.
All right, by John. This. We'll go to Chester, who's in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, Democratic caller.
Hello?
Chester in Baton Rouge, your reaction to the Supreme Court.
Yes.
We're going to have a plan for boots on the ground after the war, after Putin has condescended to have a ceasefire, then why not do it now? Just to make this point.
This is my video update on this Sunday afternoon, February the 22nd, coming to you from Nicosia, Cyprus. Let's talk about some news. And let's start things off with an ultimatum from Slovakia and from Hungary as well. Slovakia is telling Ukraine that they have until Monday to resume the oil transit via the Druzhba pipeline. And if they fail to do so, then Fico will stop the emergency electricity supplies to Ukraine. Hungary is also signaling that Ukraine has until Monday to resume the oil via the Druzhba, or else they will resume their blocking of diesel fuel, and they will continue to veto the $90 billion EU loan to the Green Goblin. So we have an ultimatum delivered to Le Goblin Ver, courtesy of Orban and Fico. It's on like Donkey Kong. Hungary and Slovakia are retaliating against Ukraine, and it's not really a retaliation against Ukraine, to be honest. This is a reply and a retaliation to the EU globalists, because Ukraine would not be blocking the oil transit via the Druzhba pipeline if they had not received the permission, the okay, the go-ahead from the globalists in Europe. And the reason that they are blocking the oil transit via the Druzhba is because they would like to pressure the Fico and the Orban governments, especially the Orban administration, now that you have an election coming up in April, and you want to make things difficult for Orban, for the Hungarian economy. You want to make things difficult for the Hungarian people, drive up the prices in the hopes that Orban will lose in April, and your guy, your candidate of choice, Peter Magyar, will win. That is what's behind all of this. But Hungary and Slovakia, they have got cards to play, and they are playing those cards. So, Fico, what did Fico say? He said that Le Goblin Ver refuses. He didn't say Le Goblin Ver. Zelensky is what Fico is saying. He said that he refuses to understand our peace-oriented approach, and because we do not support the war, he is behaving maliciously towards Slovakia. If the Ukrainian president does not resume oil supplies to Slovakia on Monday, on that same day, I will ask the relevant Slovak companies to stop emergency electricity supplies to Ukraine. That was Fico's message to Zelensky. Peter Sciarto posted on X at tomorrow's Foreign Affairs Council. The EU aims to adopt the 20th sanctions package. Hungary will block it until Ukraine resumes all transit to Hungary and Slovakia via the Druzhba pipeline. We will not allow decisions important to Kiev to move forward. Slovakia, Hungary, members of the EU, and Ukraine is not a member of the EU, but yet you have the EU globalists lining up with the Zelensky regime, going against their own member states of Hungary and Slovakia. What a nice club. What a nice union the European Union is, huh? An EU that is looking to damage the energy security of its very own member states in order to get their way in upcoming elections. So Orban was speaking yesterday, and he said that if the war ends in Ukraine, then the washing machine stops and the money to Le Gobelin Vert stops. And according to Orban, this is why Zelensky wants to keep the conflict going. That is what Orban said in a speech yesterday. He even posted that segment of his speech on X. If the war ends, funding ends. Ukraine's plan, make sure the war doesn't stop. Thankfully, common sense will prevail in Hungary, the Czech Republic, and Slovakia. We will not risk our families' future by sending billions of euros to fund someone else's war. Orban also said that, he said this before, but he said that Napoleon and the Mustache Man have tried to conquer Russia in the past. They failed. What makes Kaya Kallas believe that she will succeed? That is pretty much what Orban said. He actually mentioned Kallas's name. He said that there, the EU only hope is to defeat Russia on Ukrainian territory. After that, they will demand reparations from a defeated Russia. Let me remind you that Napoleon and the Mustache Man already tried this. It didn't work. And now it seems Kallas has decided to give it a try. We are very close to the occupied north, the Green Line, very close. It's down that way. Just like a couple of blocks away. So the Telegraph, they're not happy with Stunning and Brave. The UK establishment does not like the fact that Stunning and Brave is the top diplomat and that the top diplomat of the European Union cannot even score a meeting with the Secretary of State of the United States. And this is very troubling for the establishment class in the UK. And so the Telegraph, they ran an article a couple of days ago with the title, "Kallas is Europe's most insufferable girl boss. EU foreign policy chief is the Jacinda Ardern replacement liberals have been searching for." Ardern of New Zealand fame or infamy, Jacinda Ardern. Kallas is the new Jacinda Ardern, the Jacinda Ardern of the EU. That's not a compliment. That is not a compliment whatsoever. So since we're talking about failed politicians like Ardern, disastrous leaders like Jacinda Ardern, let's talk about Boris Johnson. Boris is back. He is back and nuttier than ever. He is back and crazier than ever, that Boris Johnson. He gave an interview to the BBC, and Boris Johnson told the BBC that he sees no reason why British troops are not in Ukraine. He can't understand why there are no boots on the ground right now at this very moment in Ukraine. He cannot understand this. And so the BBC reporter wanted to clarify things. And she asked him, after a ceasefire, right? After a ceasefire, then the Collective West Coalition of the Willing Troops enter Ukraine, right? And Boris Johnson, his reply was, nah, I'm not talking about a ceasefire. We can't wait for a ceasefire, if there's even going to be a ceasefire. He sees no reason why there are no British troops now, right now, on the front lines in Ukraine. And then the reporter asked him, well, far away from the front lines, right? Far away from danger. And Boris Johnson was, his reply was, yeah, what, okay. But there should be British boots on the ground in Ukraine in order to signal intent. You got to send a message to Putin that the UK is serious. So why are we waiting around for a ceasefire? Why are we waiting for a ceasefire? That was Boris's reply. Let's just send the troops in now. Let's send them now. Let's send them in now and send a message to Putin. Boris Johnson with his messed up hair. Messed up hair. His messed up suit. His messed up mind. Yeah. He wants boots on the ground. The BBC has an article detailing the interview with the title, UK should send non-combat troops to Ukraine now, former PM Johnson tells the BBC. I think Boris Johnson should lead the charge. Pick up a rifle, lead the charge. Go to Ukraine now. Lead by example, that's what I say. Be the leader that everyone knows you always were and you always can be, Boris Johnson, and be the first citizen of the UK to put your boots on the ground, on the front lines in Ukraine. And then everyone will follow once Boris Johnson arrives in Ukraine to send a message to Putin. Then everyone else can follow Boris Johnson. How about that? So that was Boris Johnson, his interview to the BBC. They're getting very desperate. The globalist establishment, when they have to bring out Boris Johnson again, Boris Johnson to try and sabotage any negotiations that are taking place. That's when you know that they are getting very, very desperate. Trying to sabotage Russian momentum on the battlefield. They have to bring back Boris Johnson. How you doing, my friend? Yeah, get a good stretch. Get a good stretch. We still got a lot of video to go. So we had, as I mentioned yesterday, a massive Russian strike into Ukraine, most likely in retaliation for the Ukraine strike deep into Russia that happened yesterday, for which there still is no news, or not much news coming out of Russia about that strike, about 1,200, 300 kilometers deep into Russia, hitting a military facility where the Iskander missiles are produced. The claim is that the missiles were Flamingos, the mythical Flamingo. I doubt that very much, but Russia, as I noted yesterday, they retaliated with a massive strike into Ukraine, hitting just about everything in Ukraine. Taken out military facilities, hitting energy infrastructure. It was a big strike yesterday into Ukraine. We also had an incident that took place in Lviv, where police were ambushed. They were ambushed and upwards of 20 or 25 people were injured. Policemen, I believe a policeman died as well, or someone died in this ambush. But it looks like there are partisans or certain people in Lviv who are not happy with the Zelensky regime, not happy with the military recruiters throwing people into vans and sending them to the front lines. Who knows what's going on in Lviv, which is very, very west, close to Poland. But that was an interesting development yesterday. And then we had Witkoff's interview to Lara Croft. No, sorry, Lara Trump. But it would have been cooler if it was an interview with Lara Croft, but it was with Lara Trump. So Witkoff gave an interview to Fox News as Lara Trump, who is also the wife of Trump's son, right? Eric Trump. Anyway, Witkoff gave an exclusive interview to Fox News and to Ms. Trump. And he talked about Project Ukraine. He talked about Putin. And he also talked about Iran. So let's start off with Putin and what he said about the negotiations, for which Witkoff said that progress is being made. And we could be seeing something very, very positive in the next couple of weeks. We may even be seeing a meeting between Le Goblin Verd and Putin, and we may even be seeing a trilateral meeting between Trump, Le Goblin Verd, and Putin. Who knows? We could be seeing something like that in the next 2 to 3 weeks. Witkoff said that Putin has always been straight with him. He's never been anything other than straight with me. I say that and I get attacked. But that is an accurate statement. He also mentioned how he has been to Moscow 8 times, met with Putin 8 times. What a dangerous sidewalk, huh? Very dangerous sidewalk. Gotta be careful walking the mean streets of old town Nicosia. The German newspaper Berlin Zeitung is running a story saying that the United States and Russia are deep in negotiations on business partnerships, and one of the deals that they are discussing has to do with the Nord Stream partnership. I've talked about this in the past. About a year ago, I think I've mentioned this. This could be some sort of possibility. Maybe, perhaps, this could be a possible scenario. If the United States, if the Trump administration was smart about things and it ditched Project Ukraine, then it could work with Russia to control the energy into the EU via Nord Stream, where one pipeline, is still active or can still be activated. But the German newspaper, Berlin Zeitung, is saying just that. They are reporting that the United States and Russia are indeed in discussions about Nord Stream. And the United States would operate Nord Stream, at least all the way up to where it borders with Europe, and then they would control the distribution of energy. And the EU is freaking out about this. Berlin Zeitung is saying that Europe is very concerned, because this would mean that that they would further lose their energy independence, for which they have none. They have no energy independence. They used to have energy independence when they were getting their energy from Russia. Cheap, reliable pipeline energy from Russia. Then they had independence and they had sovereignty. But since they ditched Russia, they've become energy dependent on the United States. I don't see why the EU globalists would be so troubled with this development. You're still dependent on the United States, whether it's pipeline gas via Nord Stream or LNG. Might as well take the pipeline gas. Might as well take the Nord Stream pipeline gas, brand it as American gas, right? It'll be branded as made in the USA. And you might as well take that. At least it's going to be cheaper than the LNG. I would be very surprised if Russia agreed to such a thing, though. Why should Russia agree to feeding Europe with cheap gas again? We'll see. The German newspaper is very confident about its reporting. Anyway, let's get back to Witkoff, and let's talk about Iran. Witkoff, he's a bit puzzled with Iran and what's going on there. Witkoff is saying that he can't understand why Iran just won't capitulate already. Can't understand it. He's been negotiating with Iran, negotiating with Iraqi. The United States has moved massive amounts of military hardware into the region. And from his point of view, he just cannot figure out why Iran just does not capitulate, why they do not agree to Trump's terms and disarm. Why will they not disarm? That was Witkoff's statement. Trump is curious as to why Iran has not capitulated after such a naval buildup. Witkoff and Trump are wondering why Iran does not capitulate. Because if they were to accept Trump's demands, if they were to capitulate to Trump's terms and disarm, then they would be attacked and they would have no way of defending themselves. So Iran has calculated what anyone would calculate, what any country would conclude, which is that if we give up our weapons, give up our ballistic missiles, then we're going to be attacked and regime changed. So we might as well fight this thing out, at least with our weaponry and with our missiles. At least then we have a fighting chance. But if we were to agree to these demands, then we would be sitting ducks. So one second, there's some music playing, so I'm going to turn down the audio as we walk by this area. All right. I'm back. I'm back. We have an interesting report coming out of the airport in Sofia, Bulgaria. And Grok AI has confirmed this. So if Grok AI has confirmed this, then you know it is true and accurate. And this has to do with Iran. You're saying, what does the airport in Sofia, Bulgaria, the international airport, have to do with Iran? Well, the reports are that the Bulgaria Sofia International Airport will be closed at night on February the 23rd and 24th for military flights. Night closures of a major international airport are unusual and often point to exercises, strategic movements, or sensitive operations. That is weird, isn't it? At nighttime, an international airport is going to be closing down for a certain amount of time, some hours. We'll be closing down for military flights. That's not a good sign. We do have one good sign, some positive news when it comes to Iran and the possibility that Trump might walk things back. 5% chance. That's what I give it, that he walks things back. We are getting reports that there are people in the Trump administration I think we know who those people probably are that are trying to tell Trump not to go ahead with a disastrous war with Iran. And they're actually showing Trump some polling numbers, which show that the American people, a large majority of the American people, of his voter base, are not in favor of a conflict with Iran. He would suffer big time damage in his polling numbers if he were to go ahead with this conflict against Iran. And so there are some forces in the White House that are trying to talk him out of this. I've also received other reports which claim that Trump's gatekeeper or his gatekeepers are trying to keep those forces away from Trump. They don't want Trump influenced to not go to war against Iran. So we wait and we see. What will the U.S. president do? He gave it 10 days. We got the State of the Union on Tuesday. Trump announced that he is going to increase the global tariffs from 10% to 15%. I talked about this yesterday in my video update, that after the Supreme Court ruling that was not favorable to a part of Trump's tariff policy, he announced a global tariff of 10%. Right after the Supreme Court ruling. Trump was not very happy with that Supreme Court ruling. And yesterday he said, you know what? Forget 10%. Let's make it 15%. You see, this is the problem. This is the problem. It's whatever number he decides. This is the problem. This is not a policy. This is a man with his team that wakes up with some close insiders, Lutnick and these guys, I imagine. They wake up one day and they say, you know what? 10%, no 20%, no 15%. 500%, Lindsey Graham, 500% bone-crushing sections. That's the problem. Anyway, that is what Trump announced, a 15% global tariff. So he's basing these tariffs on a new act, which I talked about yesterday. I forgot the name of the act, 1970, I think it was the 1977 act, some treaty, trade act of 1977, I believe. That act allows him to put tariffs on countries and keep those tariffs in place for 150 days or 180 days. And Trump said that he's going to use this act, this legislation, put these tariffs in place, and then that gives him 150 or 180 days to formulate a new strategy when it comes to tariffs, something that the Supreme Court cannot knock down. So we also got an announcement via Truth. It's a phone booth? No, it's not a phone booth. This should be for tourists, is what this should be. Should have pamphlets and brochures about this monument. But it's empty. Yeah, there you go. Information booth, empty. Information about this monument? We have none. Anyway, there are some signs over there. And I showed you that sign over there. Anyway, what was I saying? Yeah, we got a Truth Social post on Greenland. Greenland's back. Greenland's back, baby. Mette Frederiksen. She was talking some serious smack at the Munich Security Conference, right? Don't feel bad for Mette Frederiksen when it comes to Greenland. I just do not feel bad for the mess that she is in with Greenland because she talks all kinds of smack. Or she was talking all kinds of smack at the Munich Security Conference, talking about long-range missiles to hit Russia. We must have long-range missiles smashing inside of Russia. This is what we need to have happen. Tomahawks, long-range missile strikes deep into Russia. That was what Fredrickson was saying throughout the entire Munich Security Conference. Not concerned with Greenland anymore. Well, Greenland's back. Or at least that's what I'm thinking with this Truth Social post. Which is a strange Truth Social post from the U.S. president. He said that after consulting with the governor of Louisiana, Jeff Landry, who is also the Greenland envoy, the United States is going to send a hospital boat to Greenland in order to take care of Greenlanders. I didn't know that Greenlanders needed taken care of. I don't know. Something happened in Greenland? I don't think so. But a hospital boat, allegedly, from the United States is on its way. Working with the fantastic governor of Louisiana, Jeff Landry, we are going to send a great hospital boat to Greenland to take care of the many people who are sick and not being taken care of there. It's on the way. President DJT. Okay, he's very concerned with the health care of Greenlanders. So concerned that the U.S. president is going to be, allegedly, going to be sending a hospital boat. Why is this a bizarre Truth Social post? It's a bizarre Truth Social post. But what makes it even more bizarre, what makes it even more strange, is that there are no hospital boats available to send to Greenland. That's how it looks. No hospital boats are available to go to Greenland. In a post earlier, here we go, on Truth Social, President Trump announced that the United States is sending a hospital boat to Greenland at the request of Governor Landry, who is currently serving as the White House Special Envoy to Greenland, with the post containing a picture of the USNS Mercy. Only problem is both of the U.S. Navy's hospital ships, the USNS Mercy and her sister ship, the Comfort, are undergoing repair at Alabama Shipyard in Mobile. That's a problem. They're undergoing repair. Trump is signaling that they're on their way to Greenland, that the one boat is on its way to Greenland. Maybe they're going to be fixed up real soon. Maybe the Mercy is undergoing repair, but it'll be fixed up in a day or two, and then it can make its way to Greenland, and Greenland is back. We can start talking about Greenland again. That's what I think this post is about. It's signaling to the Europeans that Trump has not forgotten about Greenland. I have not forgotten about the whole Greenland thing. Mette Frederiksen. So talk your smack at Munich about sending long-range missiles into Russia. We have not forgotten about Greenland. So let's do a clown world and we can wrap up this Sunday video. And we will start off today's clown world. Let's see. What should we talk about in today's clown world? I bet you that hurts. I bet you that hurts. So this Swiss publication, NZZ, NZZ from Switzerland, this newspaper, published a story with the cover showing an adult Trump, an adult Putin, I'm even saying it like Pierce Morgan, now we're Boris Johnson, Putin. Boris and Pierce Morgan. Anyway, it shows Trump and Putin as adults, facing each other. And underneath them, around them, are the European leaders. Who are these leaders? It looks like Macron, Merz, Maloney, and Stammer. And they're dressed like garden gnomes.
like green goblins. Oh boy. They're taking the whole Green Goblin thing. They're growing the Green Goblin universe. There's a movie in there somewhere. Somewhere there is a movie. The Green Goblin. Well, there is the Green Goblin, Spider-Man's nemesis. Played by Willem Dafoe. The excellent Willem Dafoe. In the one Spider-Man movie that was good. I think the other Spider-Man movies pretty much sucked. But anyway, so there is a Green Goblin character. Absolutely. And now there are a bunch of little green goblins or garden gnomes. Looks like they're garden gnomes by the hat that they're wearing. Little garden gnomes around Trump and Putin. Why Europe won't grow up, that is the message of this article from Switzerland. Why Europe won't grow up. You know the European elite, when they see an article like this, when they see a featured image, a cover photo like this, you know, they get so mad. They get so freaking mad. Merz, Maloney, Macron. Macron is fuming when he sees a cover like this. Stammer. Oh, boy. Stammer has all kinds of other problems that he needs to deal with. He's on borrowed time as Prime Minister of the UK. But man, they do not like seeing images like this, especially from a publication out of Switzerland. Pretty funny, I have to admit. So, since we're on the subject of Macron, to finish up today's clown world, Macron decided to pay a visit to a bakery. Busy man, Emmanuel Macron. He's a man of the people, Emmanuel Macron. So he went to a bakery. He learned how to bake baguettes. And he spoke to the people who own the bakery or work at the bakery, a true man of the people, Macron. Bread and circuses, Macron. And then he went to drink some wine. Then he went back to his globalist hangouts to drink some wine and chill out after he did his photo op with the baguette. French President Macron visited a bakery, handled raw dough with his bare hands, snapped a few photos, and then reportedly moved on to enjoy a glass of wine. The scene looked like something straight out of a classic French stereotype. The visit comes just a day after French farmers once again took to the streets in protest. Demonstrators say their leader seems more focused on his small presidential show than on addressing the country's pressing economic and agricultural concerns. Yeah, it's a show. It's a show for Macron. He's an actor. He was an actor, right? He was a theater kid. It's a show. Of course it's a show. And of course he's not concerned with farmers. Of course he's not. I wonder who is going to eat the baguette with Macron's fingerprints on it, with Macron's hands all over that baguette. Someone in France is going to purchase that baguette. They're going to eat that baguette after Macron touched it. Tasty baguette. Not a tasty baguette. I don't like it. Anyway, that's the video, everybody. I'll end it there. TheDurand.locals.com. We are on X and Rumble and Telegram. We are also on Substack, so check us out on Substack. And go to the Durand shop, pick up some merch. Free shipping for orders over $70. And check this out. If you're in Vegas, go to Frankie's Tiki Room, Las Vegas. I was sent this very cool shirt from the Tiki Room in Vegas. I love Vegas. I've been to Vegas many, many times, dozens and dozens of times. I've been to Vegas, the Neverland Bar. But if you're in Vegas, definitely go to the Tiki Room. And I'm sure you'll be able to talk geopolitics at the Tiki Room. That would be cool. If I'm in Vegas, I'm definitely going to go there. So thank you very much for this very cool t-shirt. If you're watching this video, then drop a comment down below. And I will see everyone tomorrow. Oh, like this video, share this video, subscribe to this channel. I will see everyone tomorrow. Take care.